Paul is writing to a church that he had spent 18 months with. He had established the church at Corinth on his second missionary journey. Corinth is a city located in the southern part of what today is modern-day Greece. You'll see on the map it was located on a little isthmus that connected Greece with what was called back then Achaia, a province of Rome. Corinth had been a city for a long time, but in the rebellion against Rome, Corinth had been destroyed as Rome was kind of extending her empire. And Julius Caesar had rebuilt the city into a beautiful modern city by the time the Apostle Paul got there. As I mentioned, it was located on the isthmus. This isthmus, you'll notice, is very short. It connects basically two different seas and had two different ports, the port of Kenchrea and then Lycaonia here with Corinth being in the middle. It was only about a mile from each of these ports to the city of Corinth. And Paul had stayed there for about 18 months as he established the church. Here is the Acro Corinth, as it was called back then. There would have been a temple to Aphrodite here up on top, the goddess of love. And here Paul had established a thriving congregation. Paul had left Corinth after 18 months. He had gone back to Antioch, his home church, kind of his base of operation. And then he had left for his third missionary journey. And he had gone to the city of Ephesus, which was across the Aegean Sea from Corinth, over in what was known then as Asia, what is known today as Turkey. And there Paul hears that there are some issues going on with the church at Corinth. Some visitors from Corinth had showed up there in Ephesus, and they had brought a letter to Paul from that church asking him a bunch of questions. And so Paul sits down and pens the letter we call 1 Corinthians. Now, as he begins this letter, we so oftentimes read over these opening verses way too quickly. Here's Paul's words to the Corinthians. Paul called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. One of the things about Paul that he struggled with was that Paul was not one of the original 12. He had been called by Jesus as one out of season, as he would say. And because he was not with Peter and Andrew and James and John and Philip and Bartholomew, a lot of people did not believe he was an apostle like they were apostles. And yet Paul defended his apostleship, saying, I was called by God through Jesus Christ. I mean, I am an apostle. And then notice what he says. In our brother Sosthenes. Now here's the problem with most of us. We read this greeting and we pass right over our brother Sosthenes. Because let's be honest, who in the world is Sosthenes? Now, Paul oftentimes wrote letters with other people. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he's joined with Silas and Timothy. Timothy joined him with 2 Corinthians. He joined him with Philippians and Colossians. I mean, there were oftentimes people would join Paul, and he would say, you know, Paul an apostle along with. But in this case, he chose a brother by the name of Sosthenes. And I want you to notice in particular, he says, our brother. Who in the world is Sosthenes? And why was he so important that Paul included him in this letter? I mean, is he somebody that the Corinthians would know? You would think so by saying our brother. And if he is someone they knew, why would Paul be holding him up? Can I suggest to you this morning that as Paul writes this letter to address a lot of different problems in this church, that Sosthenes is going to become an important example of the very thing Paul's going to talk about. Now you say, Leslie, how? Let's go back in time just a little bit. Let's go back about 3 years. We're in Acts 18. Paul has just arrived in Corinth. Paul had preached, he had gone up to Philippi, he had gone from Philippi to Thessalonica, to Berea, down to Athens. He had struggled through all of those different places, sometimes being beaten, sometimes being whipped, being driven out of cities, being put on trial. And so he shows up in Corinth, and Paul is kind of beaten down. He's by himself. And so he immediately begins looking for a job. Now we know that Paul was a tent maker. And so the text tells us that he ran into a couple by the name of Aquila and Priscilla. They're Jews who are also believers in Jesus. And then in addition to that, they're tent makers. And so Paul's kind of like, wow. I mean, here I was discouraged. I just left Athens where I really didn't baptize that many. And now I run into you guys. Thank you. And he joins them in making tents. Now, as he's making tents, he's preaching on Saturday, on the Sabbath, in the synagogue. And when Timothy and Silas finally shows up, he simply goes full time at preaching and teaching. And then, like always, Paul ran into opposition. Notice the text here. He was testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed him, Paul opposed and became abusive. He shook out his clothes in protest and said, "Your blood be on your own heads. I'm innocent of it. From now on, I'll go to the Gentiles." But what's interesting is, as he's leaving the synagogue, he baptizes the preacher of the synagogue. I mean, if you turn over to the very next verse, Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. But here's where you need to pause. Because this is where Brother Sosthenes is going to come into the picture. You see, Paul leaves the synagogue, but do you notice where he goes? He goes next door. He goes to a house right beside the synagogue. And now you got a problem. You got a church meeting over here, and you got the synagogue meeting right here. And what is the preacher of the church over here doing? He's trying to convert the members of the synagogue over here. And so the members of the synagogue are all upset. They're like, he's already stole our preacher. And now he's trying to get all the rest of them. Of all the places in Corinth he could go, did he have to go next door? And you can almost picture the scene. I mean, a lot of the Christians would meet on what they called Saturday night. One of the things you need to understand is that Jewish time started at sunset. And so I can see Saturday afternoon, it's time for the synagogue to let out. People are starting to go out of the synagogue, and as they're going out of the synagogue, over here's Christians coming into the church. Hey, brother, we'd love for you to come over here and join us in worship. I mean, Paul here's a good rabbi. He quotes a lot of Old Testament scriptures. By the way, Brother Crispus is over here. He came over. Wouldn't y'all like to come over? And tensions are rising. In fact, they're rising so much that the text says that Jesus appears to Paul. And he says to Paul, "Listen, don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. I'm with you. No one's going to attack you or harm you because I have many people in this city." And so Paul does this for a year and a half. And the whole time he's doing it, the synagogue over here is steaming. I mean, can he go somewhere else? Can he just leave Corinth? Does he have to just literally try to convert everybody in our synagogue? And so the next thing you know, the Jews get together, they get organized, and boy, they go after Paul. Notice the text. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews of Corinth made a united attack. Now, I don't know what is implied in all of those words. I just know that everybody had gotten on board. They had the plan laid out. They were going to put an end to Paul once and for all. And so they have him arrested, and they bring him to the place of judgment. This man, they charged, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law, Gallio. And boy, they thought, we've got him now. We've got him in court. We've pressed charges. We're going to get rid of this troublemaker once and for all. No church beside our synagogue. And look at what Jesus does. Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to them, "If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it'd be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names of your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I'm not going to be a judge of such things. Get them out of here." And he drove them out. And so you can just see the guards there in the judgment hall, maybe taking, you know, sticks or rods and driving the Jews out. And boy, here they're getting pushed out and people are jeering at them. And they get to the back. And guess what they did? You see, it's one of those passages we just read right through it. You see, they get to the back and they turn on the new preacher at the synagogue. The guy who had organized this. The guy who had put it all together. The guy who wanted to get rid of Paul more than anything else because he had already converted one preacher from there. And they turn on him. Anybody want to guess his name? Then the crowd turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, and beat him in front of the proconsul. And Gallio showed no concern whatsoever. Now, I love what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit says, now, can y'all fill in the gaps? Can y'all go from Sosthenes, the synagogue leader who leads this revolt against Paul, can y'all go from that to Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and Sosthenes, our brother? Because you see, what the Spirit wants us to recognize is that God worked through that event. I mean, yes, Sosthenes got beaten, but what he got beaten was the sense into him. I mean, I can't help but think that the Apostle Paul is over here and Paul's thinking back to the promise that Jesus had made. Don't you be afraid. No one's going to harm you. And here he is, he's just been drugged to court, and the next thing you know, he knows, the guy who orchestrated all this, he's out there, and they're beating him. I would love to have known what happened. In my own mind, I picture it this way. I picture Paul going up after everybody had dissipated, and poor old Sosthenes is laying in the dirt. He's been beat up. He's bleeding. He's scratched up. I mean, he's wondering to himself, what in the world happened? And Paul comes up and says, "I know how you feel. See, Brother Sosthenes, I used to be just like you. In fact, I used to think that I should do everything to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth until Jesus appeared to me. Can I just tell you how I got from where you are to where I am today?" And I almost picture Paul kind of putting his hand down and lifting Sosthenes up and dusting him off and putting his arm around him and walking over to either the house or the synagogue and saying, "Here's what Scripture teaches." And the next thing you know, Sosthenes is obeying the gospel. He's a brother in Christ. And not only is he obeying the gospel, but he is traveling with Paul. He is over now at Ephesus. And so when Paul writes this letter and says, "Listen, Paul, an apostle, and our brother Sosthenes," everybody there in the church at Corinth knew Sosthenes. They knew his story. They knew the conflict. They knew how he'd gone from being the leader of the synagogue to being a follower of Jesus Christ and now working with the apostle Paul. So as Paul writes this letter, he says, "Can I hold up one of your own as an example of what God can do in your life?" In fact, if we're not careful, we read through those first 9 verses so fast that we don't see what Paul is doing. You see, you pull those texts up, and again, our brother Sosthenes, he includes him here. You bring that text up, and there's the first 9 verses of 1 Corinthians. And if you don't look at it real close, you don't notice what is literally jumping out from the page. Let me help you out with it. I mean, have you ever noticed how many times the name of either Jesus or God or Father, Lord, Christ is every verse?
I mean, as Paul launches into this treatise, which is going to have a lot of problems. I mean, by the time he gets to verse 10, he's already into the troubles they have at Corinth. But before going to verse 10, he wants the Corinthians to know more than anything else that just like Sosthenes had moved from being a persecutor to a follower of Jesus, they too had moved from whatever background it was they had been raised in to being followers of Jesus. And that this was not by their power, but this had been by the power of God Himself. God had started that work in them. And Paul was confident that God would finish that work in them. Look at the verses. Again, if you're not careful, you don't see it pop up. Paul wanted the Corinthians believers to know that God had done and was doing and was going to continue to do things in their behalf. And so he starts to the church of God. It's his church. He's the one that bought it. He's the one that built it. It's not Paul's. It's not Apollos's. It's not Peter's. We'll see how that, you know, looks at or is applied to the text next week. But it's not theirs. It's God's. And so first of all, to the church of God in Corinth. And he says, I write to those who belong to Christ Jesus and to those who have been set apart. Boy, I love that language there. That language of you've been sanctified, you've been set apart. God looks at you and says, you're special and I want to set you apart. Today is Mother's Day. A day that we have set apart to honor our mothers. And here is Paul saying, you know, the church is like that. God has set us apart to be His people. And he goes on and he says, and so he calls us to be holy. Why? Because He is holy. He wants us to reflect His image. Along with all of those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Their Lord and ours. God is our God. He's our Father and Jesus is our Lord. He's the one who's leading us. And so he says, I always thank my God for you because of His grace given you. You see, if you know anything about the Corinthians, you'd know that Corinth was a tough place. And here were people who had been pagans, who had been converted to the God of Israel. And of course, they're looking at their lives going, look how messed up I am. And Paul says, you may be messed up, but because of the grace of God, you've been cleansed. And I love what Paul would say to the Romans. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that every time I need God's grace, God says, I'll just keep pouring it out. I'll just keep pouring it out because you're my son. Or you're my daughter. For in Him you've been enriched in every way. He mentions in particular here all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. But the point simply being, and Paul was fond of saying this in the second letter to the Corinthians, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. You know, if I were to ask who's the richest man in the world, most of us would answer, well, it's Jeff Bezos, owner and establisher of Amazon. I beg to differ with you. It's not Jeff Bezos. It's not Bill Gates. See, the richest person in the world is a person who's a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, if you've been immersed into Jesus Christ and you are now one of His disciples, just like Paul, just like Sosthenes, I want to tell you what Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos has doesn't compare to what you have. And you're like, well, Leslie, I don't see it right now. Oh, yeah, you don't see it right now. That's because it's Saturday, but Sunday's coming. You're going to see it soon enough. And so Paul says to the Corinthians, you're rich. In fact, you don't lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. There's coming a revelation day in the future. And when Jesus comes back, then people will see just how rich we are. And he says, every spiritual gift, if God calls us, God equips us. I mean, whatever He calls us to do, He gives us the ability and power to do it. And we've got to believe that with all of our hearts. And He will also keep you firm to the end. I love that promise.
It's kind of like the promise you find in Philippians, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, the Jesus who led me into the water to be baptized is the same Jesus that's going to make sure I get across the finish line. You see, we so oftentimes think it's our power, it's our strength that gets us through this life. And here's Paul saying, not at all. You've got one who runs by your side, and he makes sure you're going to finish. When you fall down, he picks you up. When you stumble, he straightens you up. He's going to finish what he started. You can count on it. And you'll know why? Because our God, he's a faithful God. What he promises, he does. Our brother Sosthenes, you may not remember his name, but I hope you'll remember his story. The story of someone who didn't believe in Jesus, who didn't think he was the Messiah, who, like Saul of Tarsus, thought he should do everything to stop it. And then when he did, it backfired on him. And yet, God was not through with him. God had put just the right person there that day, a guy who had done the exact same thing. And again, I can see old Paul coming up to dear old Sosthenes and lifting him up out of the dirt and cleaning the dirt off of him and saying, brother, can I just sit down and tell you some good news? And Sosthenes believed that good news. And you see, I think John had a message that I think so resonates with us. Dear children, you belong to God. So you have won the victory over these people because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Is that true of you today? Is God alive in your life? You see, if you, like Sosthenes, have said enough's enough, I'm ready to follow Jesus, then God's alive. But maybe you're like Sosthenes on the other side. You haven't quite made that decision to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Why not put it today? Why not come and say, you know, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to be baptized into his name. I want to begin this wonderful journey with the rest of God's people. We want to invite you to do it. You can do it right now as together we speak.